The last case for argument is 21-1967, Arendu v. LG Electronics. I'm going to be ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Kemper Diehl on behalf of Arendi. This appeal is about whether Arendi should be allowed to pursue its patent infringement claims against LG's non-Rebel 4 products on the merits. Those products represent 96% of the LG products that Arendi alleges infringe its 843 patent. Arendi has sought to pursue its claims against these products in two cases, but in both cases, the district court precluded it. These two district court decisions...
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
I'm looking for case law. Could you identify for me even a single case in which a party's expert report on infringement of certain products was excluded, but then the court allowed the party to file a second lawsuit in which it could accuse those same products of infringement?
Your Honor, I don't think there's a specific case that has had that exact issue, but I would refer you to the Acumed decision from this court, where Acumed had sought to bring claims against another set of products in the first case, Acumed 1.
That's factually different from here, right? Because here, all of LG's products were, in fact, in Arendi 1 through your Section 4A disclosures.
Yes, Your Honor, but I would disagree with the premise there that they were properly accused in Arendi 1 because the district court found and LG argued that they were not. And so after the Section 4 disclosures were complete, Section 4A and Section 4C are two parts of the whole.
Well,
Acumed is completely distinguishable. In fact, I think it hurts you because it's so distinguishable. There they found that the products were different, which suggests that if the products are not different, you lose. So what are you referring to when your response to Judge Chen? What are you...
Yes, I'm saying that what was contradictory here was for the district court to conclude in Arendi 1 that these products were not sufficiently accused. And then in Arendi 2,
we've got the boards. What are you referring to specifically? The oral hearing here is what are you referring to what the district court said?
Yes, I'm referring to the district court said in Arendi 1 when it concluded that these products had not been sufficiently accused because Arendi had not...
Are you talking about the first? The one that's just happening? Okay,
right.
Give me a page site. It's in the appendix.
Yes. So at appendix 1576, the district court agreed that Arendi had not sufficiently disclosed its intent to pursue these claims in the Arendi 1 suit.
Can you give us just a second?
Yes.
I was looking at the oral hearing excerpt. You're not referring to the oral hearing excerpt, you're referring to something else?
You're referring to something in the first case. It's the oral order at 1576.
That's right, yes. I'm referring to what the court found in the first case, which is contradictory with what it found in the second case. In the first case, the court said that LG did not have notice that, quote, Arendi was pursuing infringement claims against more than the Rebel 4 product. And so what it found was that these...
It was kind of shorthand, right? It meant that they didn't have notice of your claim charts.
Right.
They knew which products you were accusing, but they didn't have your allegations as required by the court's rules. So when the court said notice there, isn't it a little unfair for you to say that meant the products weren't even at issue in the case?
Well, Your Honor, I think you have to think about Section 4 as initial disclosures writ large, and there are two parts of it.
So wait, but isn't it true? I mean, do I have the facts right? I think you identified the products, and then you had an expert report delineating why those products were accused, what the infringement contentions were. And I skipped one thing, which was also there was a lot of discovery on all of those products in the interim, and you're saying that just because no claim charts were provided, that means those products were never at issue in that first case. And so therefore you can file a second case. Is that right?
That's close. What I'm saying is that the initial accused products list was not binding. That's something that under Delaware's local rules, the plaintiff has permission to supplement.
You continued on with it. You got discovery on it. And then you had an expert report on it.
Yes.
How can you possibly say they weren't at issue and that somehow because you didn't provide claim charts, the very thing that you should have provided for your expert report not to be dismissed is the thing that allows you to file a second lawsuit?
Well, I'll walk you through the history of what happened in Arendi 1. So we filed that accused products list, and then 90 days later, under Section 4C of the Delaware's local standard, we served our infringement contentions. Those charted one product, the Rebel 4, as an exemplary product of all the products we had named. That was our position. LG sent us a letter in April 2019 that said, since you've only charted one product, we believe that only one product is accused here, and you have not sufficiently accused the other products. That's in the appendix.
Well, did you ever amend your complaint? I mean, your view was that the non-Rebel 4 products were in Arendi 1, right? Did you ever amend your complaint to explicitly remove them?
The complaint was actually in 2012, and that complaint didn't mention these products.
Amend the Section 4A disclosures
to delete
all of those scores of accused products that don't fit within the Rebel 4 category. There were 8 categories of accused products, as I understand.
That's right. We didn't amend because we were under the impression that this dispute was not at issue. So LG sent us that letter in April 2019.
But just following up on the story. Yeah. Okay, so you do your claim chart for the Rebel 4, and then there's this discussion back and forth about how Rebel 4 is maybe not exactly representative of all 200 accused products. And so then there was an agreement that there would be 8 different categories of accused products, Rebel 4 being the representative product for Category 1. But then you never went forward and did claim charts for the other 7 categories. And I guess the question I have is, why didn't you do that?
Your Honor, at that point, we didn't think there was a live dispute about additional claim charts being necessary. As part of that representative products agreement that you referenced, LG did not ask for additional claim charts. It was not mentioned as part of that agreement.
LG never asked you after that for claim charts?
They raised it one more time during fact discovery in an interrogatory response. That was 2 days before written fact discovery closed.
But just so I understand, the entire premise of identifying 8 different categories was because they operated somehow differently. These categories were somehow distinct from each other. And all you had done up to that point was a claim chart for the Rebel 4 category. And the question still comes down to, why didn't you do a claim chart for the other 7 categories?
Our position at the time was that they were sufficiently similar that we didn't need to because the Rebel 4 claim chart did cover
them. Okay, so then that tells me that you were under the impression that all of the accused products were still in play, and you subjectively, for whatever reason, thought that the Rebel 4 claim chart would be able to cover all 200 accused LG products.
We did, Your Honor. We did, Your Honor. And that's because the information about how these products differ is in LG's possession. That's something that LG knows.
And then LG gave you lots of fact discovery, didn't they? They gave you all the technical documents. They made a corporate executive available who actually did testify, gave you all the financials on all these different categories of products. And yet you didn't come forward with a claim chart. And so by the time fact discovery closed and then you came out with the expert report, asserting all kinds of interesting, never-before-seen infringement theories on several other non-Rebel 4 categories of products, the district court, I think, reasonably found that this was too late to bring this all because you never did claim charts that you were obligated to do under Section 4C.
Well, Your Honor, from our perspective, what happened was LG raised this dispute about the claim charts not being sufficient in April 2019, and then, yes, proceeded to go through all of the full discovery in all of these products. We didn't think there was still a live issue about that. They didn't move to compel on it like other defendants did. They didn't raise it further with Arendi until 2 days before fact discovery closed. So here we are doing all of this discovery on the non-Rebel 4 products. There's been no mention of needing additional claim charts on those. And then 2 days before written fact discovery.
Well, I guess before we finish up with go on and on and on, I think the point that is underscoring all of this is that everybody believed that all of these accused products were in Arendi 1. You know, by the time you filed your expert report after fact discovery closed, you still believed all the accused products were in Arendi 1. And so the district court said, these products are all in Arendi 1. It's just that you failed to fulfill your discovery obligations under Section 4C, And that's why your expert report is going to be limited and truncated the way it has been. But nevertheless, all of those products are still in Arendi 1, so therefore you can't go running around and erecting Arendi 2 and having a do-over. And I guess at this point, I don't see anything that's wrong with that.
Your Honor, a couple of responses to that. One, there's no do-over here because nothing needs to be redone. But
is
also,
there a summary judgment motion pending in the case?
Your Honor, LG
did... There was a summary judgment motion pending at the time of your briefing, right?
At the time of our briefing in this case, in Arendi 2, LG filed a motion for summary judgment of non-infringement in Arendi 1. And what that was it wasn't a motion to determine whether or not the non-Rebel 4 products actually practiced the patent. It was a no-evidence motion. It tried to convert the court's discovery ruling, which had held that these products weren't sufficiently accused and Arendi could not go forward on them. That was not a dispositive motion. That was an order. That was a ruling that these products hadn't been sufficiently accused to actually go forward to trial on them. Arendi,
so there's a motion for summary judgment of non-infringement on the products in the Arendi 1 case, and then that was denied.
Yes.
Why doesn't that additionally show that the Arendi 1 products were, I mean, that the products at issue in Arendi 2 were in fact at issue in Arendi 1?
Well, what happened there is that was denied without prejudice to this appeal. And so if the district court really thought, yes, these products are at issue in Arendi 1, and therefore I should take my discovery order and convert it into summary judgment of non-infringement because these products actually are going forward here to a merits judgment, it could have easily granted that motion.
You're saying that the denial of the summary judgment without prejudice shows that the district court wasn't sure if the same products were at issue in the two cases?
I'm saying it could have granted that motion. And instead, it deferred to this court to figure out if claim splitting exists here. And I submit that claim splitting does not exist because the Rebel 4 products that are actually going to trial in Arendi 1 are different from the non-Rebel 4 products that
Well, that may be true, but as Judge Chen was asking you, whose fault is that? And why do you get a do-over? Because you may have dropped the ball, and you can still appeal that to us, and the process is still ongoing on Arendi 1. But why does that allow you to file a separate case? I mean, it's one thing, I guess, and I'm not positive, but I assume if you can amend a complaint, and in that certain circumstances, you affirmatively say, I'm taking this out, and I don't know what the rules are, and we don't have a district court opinion on that. But how here, where you never took this stuff out, you maintained it was in, and you're feeling like, well, we may have messed up arguably, or there may, you know, or the district court messed up by making certain procedural arguments, so now we'll just move forward to get around that and do another case in the meantime. Isn't that what's happening here?
Well, Your Honor, I would say that there are consequences from what happened here. And so the district court found that these products weren't sufficiently accused and we couldn't move forward in Arendi 1. So we filed Arendi 2 because they're different products. We could have started out as two different cases at the outset because LG has told us they're different products when it comes to material.
But what was your position?
Our position was that they were the same.
Okay.
And that we were validly in the first case. But when the district court ruled that that was not the case and LG argued that that was not the case because they're different, there was no claim splitting when we filed a new case. And the filing a new case 6 years after we filed the first case had huge consequences for Arendi because it loses damages from before 2014.
Well, I guess it depends on how you frame the issue. You're saying they were different products. One could frame the issue as you alleged infringement of all of these products, and you didn't make enough of an explicit showing with respect to all of the variations in your 4C submission. So that's a little bit different than saying these were always different products and we weren't maintaining that they were the same and yada yada, right?
Right, Your Honor. And I think the fundamental problem here is that to say Section 4C is dispositive in Arendi 1 of whether or not the products were in the case is one thing. But, you know, I think that's probably right, that the infringement contentions were not sufficient to accuse the products. But then to come to Arendi 2 and look back at Arendi 1 and say, oh, Section 4C wasn't sufficient to put them in the case, but Section 4A was.
Can I ask you something? I'm really confused. Because you've got on JA page 16, you agreed, I think, that the products, you said, I think the court asked First of all, you don't dispute that in 4A, you accuse every single product that you now want to accuse in this Arendi 2, correct? You agree with that? And the answer is, I agree with that, Your Honor. So they were all in our Section 4A disclosures. I'm just having a little bit of a hard time understanding your point right now that Arendi 2 involved different products.
Yes, they were all accused of the initial Section 4A disclosures in Arendi 1. Then when we get to the Section 4C disclosures, we charted one product, the Rebel 4, and LG argued...
So it's your answer, your argument presented right now, saying that actually they're different products, is based on the fact that you had only identified and charted out one product in your 4C obligation.
That's right, and the district court found, and LG argued, that that only captured that one product, and the products that represented the Rebel 4 products.
Let's say we affirm here, because we think all of these accused products in Arendi 2 are and still are in Arendi 1. You'll still be able to make your 4A, 4C argument in any appeal from Arendi 1, right? Because as I understand, your theory is no accused product is really, really part of the litigation until after you have submitted your Section 4C claim chart as to those accused products. So you can just address that issue then in any appeal in Arendi 1, right?
Your Honor, that's theoretically possible, but I would say that justice delayed is justice denied. And to go back to Arendi 1, where there's no assigned judge right now, and to first we'll have to go to trial on the Rebel 4 products after we get an assigned judge. That could easily be a year or more. And then we'll have to appeal that process.
No, but that's not the way the system works, is it? I mean, we have plenty of district court appeals, and there are some interim procedural rules where you can't take an interlocutory appeal. You can't sort of just independently carve those out of the case and move forward on another case because you may have to wait 3 years for the adjudication of those first issues. I mean, that's just not the way the rule, that's not the way things work, right?
Right, I understand you're saying that there would be time involved in this process, which you know is the system. But this court has the opportunity to allow these cases to move, this claims to move forward now in Arendi 2 by putting that case back on track. There wasn't claim splitting for the reasons I mentioned, as Judge Chen indicated. Once you don't really have products in a case until they're accused in Section 4C.
And to I didn't say that. I was just repeating
my argument. Sorry, I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. Yeah, thank you.
We don't agree with that, but go ahead.
Okay. So this court, as I was saying, has the opportunity to put this case back on track in the Arendi 2 litigation. We don't believe there is claim splitting because the trial and the ultimate judgment on Rebel 4 in Arendi 1 will not be claim preclusive as to these products, and we don't believe that they're actually being litigated to a merits judgment in Arendi 1 because the court held that they weren't sufficiently accused there under the Section 4C disclosures. So with that, I'll save any remaining time I have for rebuttal.
You don't have any, but we'll restore a couple minutes.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Andy Schwentker on behalf of LG Electronics. This appeal involves a very narrow issue. Arendi filed this duplicative lawsuit in an attempt to get around a discovery sanction in Arendi 1.
Let me ask you just though, if they had actually come in at some point, and I'm not sure what point that is, and said, okay, we're going to amend our complaint and our 4A and explicitly remove these non-Rebel 4 products, Would that have saved them? In other words, could they then subsequently pursue a new complaint, a different complaint involving those products?
Well, Judge Prost, I think it would depend on how that all played out. But here, obviously, that's not what happened. They never amended their complaint or their Section 4A disclosures.
So your view is just as a matter of reality, those claims are still in the case. Even though they failed in their 4C disclosures to explain them in a sufficient degree to be able to prevail on.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Yes.
Yeah. Just following up on Judge Prost's question, what if after there was this negotiation of where there was an understanding that all of the accused products fell into one of eight different buckets, and Rebel 4 was the representative product for bucket one, but then Arendi at that point decided that it wouldn't want to keep going in this particular litigation to chase after the other seven buckets, and then attempted to delete all of those itemized products from its Section 4A disclosures. Would it at that point in time have been free to have filed a new complaint with accusing one or all of those seven other buckets of accused products?
Well, so Judge Chin, the way that the rules in Delaware work is there are deadlines for submitting these disclosures, and then if a party wishes to amend the disclosures afterwards, they need to show good cause. And so there was a deadline in the schedule for Arendi to submit its Section 4A disclosures. They did that on the deadline. So if they wanted to amend the Section 4A disclosures after that, they would have had to show good cause under the, you know, the district courts and the, you know, Third Circuit law. And LG certainly would have opposed that because LG...
Okay, but let's assume it plays out and they get, the district court approves the amendment. So they take these non-Rebel products out of this case. Does that give them a basis for coming in with the Arendi too? Different case, but you know, in those circumstances, can they get a do-over? I mean, I know your position is there's no way that the district court should be granting that kind of motion to amend at that stage because there's not good cause.
Right.
But assuming hypothetically that there is a case in which there is good cause to amend the complaint or the 4A disclosures. In those circumstances, there wouldn't be this claim splitting or whatever problem.
Sure, I would agree that there are circumstances, you know, there may be circumstances where for whatever reason, you know, the district court orders, you know, these products are not in this case, you know, we're gonna set these aside, you know, for a different case another day. That's obviously, you know, nothing at all like what happened here, but there may be circumstances like that. Although even in that situation, I mean, district court judges can stage serial trials. You know, if there are too many products for one trial, they can hold one trial and then hold another trial later on, and it's still part of the same case.
I mean, is this the case? We've had a lot of cases this week. Is this a case that was filed like in 2012?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Your Honor.
So they're making it, if they get Arendi too on all of these products, isn't that going to affect, I mean, they're going to get 6 years before 2012 on Arendi 1. Not so for Arendi 2, right? In terms of the damages bucket we're talking about here, the potential for damages, there's an astronomical difference between the two cases, right?
That is theoretically possible. The way, I believe the way it played out here was there were products from before 2012 that Arendi identified in their Section 4A disclosures that were not even part of the expert infringement report. And so I don't believe the damages base in Arendi 1 even goes back that far.
Has a new judge been assigned to this case? I know they did something. We got a 28J the other day. Was a new judge put on this case?
Not yet, Your Honor. No, it's still pending.
I'd like to ask you the same question I asked your friend on the other side, which is, can you identify, or are you aware of a single case in which a party's expert report on infringement was excluded, and then thereafter the district court allowed the filing of a second case in order to be able to pursue those accused products?
No, Judge Stahl. I'm not aware of any such case. So anyway, the ultimate issue here is whether the district court abused its discretion. It was an application of the local rules, an interpretation of the local rules, as well as an interpretation of its own order, all of which this court, you know, owes deference to. There's clearly no abuse of discretion here. Everything is 100% supported by the procedural history of Arendi 1. And unless there are any further questions.
Could it be de novo? Because what we're simply trying to do is interpret whether these products are still in Arendi 1 or not. Not whether what happened in Arendi 1 was correct or incorrect or an abuse of discretion, but just whether those accused products remain in that first case. And why wouldn't that be a de novo question?
Because, Judge Chin, that issue hinges on the district court's application of its own local rules and understanding of its prior order in Arendi 1. And those issues are all reviewed for abuse of discretion on, you know, the Halmedica case by this court, 822 F3rd at 1324, explains that this court defers to the district court when interpreting and enforcing local rules so as not to frustrate local attempts to manage patent cases according to prescribed guidelines.
So wasn't LG's motion a motion to dismiss under Rule 12b-6, which would in turn be reviewed de novo?
The 12b-6 motion would be reviewed de novo, but this is an unusual situation where the ruling hinges on the procedural history of a prior lawsuit.
We may have to give deference, as we do often in obviousness cases or whatever. There were underlying questions of fact, and we defer to the judge's conclusion on that, but not to the ultimate question.
And the ultimate question of whether a case is duplicative is barred by claim preclusion, that may be reviewed de novo, but the underlying issues here are issues that would be given deference to the district court. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, this is a district court managing its docket.
Is this third? The sub question is: some of this is Third Circuit law, and some of this is our law, right?
Yes, Judge Prost. Most of the inquiry is Third Circuit law. The only subsidiary inquiry that we believe is governed by Federal Circuit law is whether the subject matter of two different cases is the same. And that is we believe governed by Federal Circuit law. But
and that's de novo, right?
The
whether it's the same subject matter in two different cases.
Whether the
de novo inquiry.
Whether the subject matter is the same as a de novo inquiry, but again, the subsidiary issues are factual, including, let's see.
So isn't the question just whether these accused products are in Arendi 1 or not? Not whether the district court abused its discretion in Arendi 1 in determining that they are still in Arendi 1, but just that they haven't been litigated properly by the plaintiff.
The issue is whether the products are in Arendi 1. And I guess that specific question of, you know, the district court's view of whether the products are in or out of Arendi 1, we believe that is an issue that this court should give deference to the district court on. Unless there are any further questions, I will cede the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll restore 2 minutes if you need it.
Good
Thank you, Your Honor.
But actually, I'll give you 3 or 4 if you need it, because I have a question about the burden of proof, just if you could speak to the last question we were asking your friend.
Yes, I can start with that. The standard of review here is de novo for the core question of whether or not these claims are duplicative. That's a question of Federal Circuit law. That's in the Brain Life case. It makes clear that whether two questions of patent infringement, whether two claims of patent infringement are identical, is a question of Federal Circuit law.
I guess getting back to the other side's question point, though, is that to figure out whether these products are in Arendi 1 or not, we have to understand how the local rules operate, and the district court here in this Arendi 2 interpreted and applied those local rules, and doesn't that get a lot of deference?
Well, Your Honor, I would say that what matters is whether the Federal Circuit, under its law, thinks that these claims were included in Arendi 1. And yes, the local rules do dictate a process for that, and they dictate a two-part process, as we discussed, 4A and 4C. And the district court found that under 4C, these products were not accused in Arendi 1. And so, therefore, there's no claim splitting when you get over to Arendi 2, because the district court found, applying its local rules, that when the Section 4C disclosures were done, these products weren't actually accused. I do also want to address the damages point. There has been a huge consequence of refiling later. By filing in 2020, damages only go back to 2014. As Judge Prost indicated, this case did start in 2012. So damages from before 2014 for these products are no longer available to Arendi. I also want to go back to the idea that there was a discovery violation here. The court didn't find that. The question on the motion to strike in Arendi 1, to strike the expert report, was, are these products at issue in this case because we didn't think so? We would be prejudiced. This is LG's motion. We would be prejudiced if we had to defend against them here. And the court said, you're right. They aren't sufficiently accused in the infringement contentions, so you would be prejudiced if you had to defend against them here. They're not actually in this case. And so what happened then was to file Arendi 2 at a huge cost to Arendi of giving up back damages. But that was not claim splitting when it did that. And I want to conclude by saying that there's a huge interest in justice here of allowing this valid patent claim to be litigated on the merits. This is a patent that this court has seen before and upheld, and Arendi alleges widespread infringement by LG. The court has made no holding in Arendi 1 that Arendi is forever barred from pursuing these claims on the merits, or that it had forfeited or waived these claims. That's not something that has happened in Arendi 1. And when LG tried to get that kind of order, the court didn't grant it and deferred to this court to decide first whether these claims are properly in Arendi 2. If this court is inclined to affirm the dismissal of Arendi 2, I would say that it would be proper to indicate that these claims should be litigated on the merits somewhere and give guidance to the district court that these are legitimate patent claims that should be litigated to a judgment on the merits, and they
don't
belong
think
somewhere.
We'd be going outside our lane with respect to our jurisdiction over this case.
I think, Your Honor, you'd have to affirm, and you're right, we're in Arendi 2. That's the case that's on appeal here. But I think some guidance to the district court, which is going to be a new judge receiving Arendi 1 for the first time, and that this court has already reviewed a substantial part of the record in that case and has concluded that there is some merit to proceeding on the non-revocable
claims.
Well, if
you go forward on Arendi 1, you'll have an opportunity, belated as it may be, to make whatever arguments you want to make on the process questions, right? You've not forfeited those forever. You can make those arguments in Arendi 1, right?
We can make those arguments in Arendi 1 if this court sends us back there.
Thank you. We thank both sides. Case is submitted. That concludes our proceedings for this morning.